afternoon, I'd like to go ahead and call the Health and Social Services Committee to order. Time's 1:30, 1:31 actually, 25th of January, 2016. Present today are Senator Geisel, Senator Stoltz, Senator Ellis, and Stedman. We will be joined shortly, I think, with Senator Kelly, who was just here, but we do have a quorum to conduct business. There's three items on the agenda today. The first item, Senate Bill 98, Prescriptions Without Physical Exam. That bill is going to be postponed until Wednesday. There's an amendment and some reworking that we're going to take a look at, rather than have a second hearing on it and have an amendment and then deal with it Wednesday. We're just going to pull it off the agenda and then bring it back hopefully Wednesday and send it on its way. The rest of the agenda, which is just two items, Senate Bill 112, the adoption of child in state custody, and then House Bill 76, Governor's Council on Disabilities. They're going to be both first hearings. So we are going to take House Bill 76 up. Yes, it's the second here. Excuse me, House Bill 112 up. The adoption of child in state custody. It's a governor's bill, and we should have somebody from the governor's office. Christy Lawton, is she here? Is there anybody from the governor's office here to present this bill? If you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and take us through this bill, please.
Certainly. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Christy Lawton, and I'm the director for the Office of Children's Services. Thank you for taking the time to hear this important bill today. This is a simple and straightforward bill that will, if passed, have meaningful positive impacts for Alaska Native children and families. As you know, at the very end of last session, Governor Walker introduced this bill and subsequently approved emergency regulations that mirror it. This bill, at its core, seeks to remove barriers to adoption of Alaska Native children by Alaska Native families by ensuring that those families interested in adoption are provided the opportunity to do so in a way that is less cumbersome and ensures that the highest preference placement is always utilized when available. Congress enacted the Indian Child Welfare Act in 1978 due to the alarming numbers of Indian children being removed from their homes by state and private child welfare agencies and being placed in non-Indian foster and adoptive homes, never to return to their families, community, or culture. Senate Bill 112 and its companion House Bill 200 were introduced by the Governor's Office in April 2015 in response to several legal decisions related to the Indian Child Welfare Act. There were two competing cases working their way through the courts at the same time. One was the U.S. Supreme Court case filed out of South Carolina, commonly referred to as the Baby Veronica case. This case, which related to the adoption of American Indian children by a non-Indian family. The second case, Tununuk, was working its way through the Alaska courts, in which challenges were raised related to OCS's compliance with the Indian Child Welfare Act's adoption placement preferences, which give higher preferences to relatives, other tribal members, and other Indian family members. These two cases were decided separately in the respective courts. However, the U.S. Supreme Court decision significantly influenced the decision made in the Alaska Supreme Court decision. As a result, the Alaska Supreme Court decision created procedural processes that created significant legal barriers for Alaska Native families to exercise their rights to be considered as a preferred adoptive placement for their Alaska Native children. The primary impediment created by the U.S. Supreme Court was the requirement that prospective adoptive families had to file a formal petition for adoption to even be considered as a possible adoptive placement. For many Alaska Native families who live in rural Alaska, whom English may be their second language, and who may not have access to legal counsel and/or the court system, this may be difficult or impossible, and this requirement may effectively eliminate them from consideration. This bill is in response to those two decisions, and we believe it will make the process easier and less burdensome. Senate Bill 112 seeks to eliminate complicated procedural barriers in the adoption process for Alaska Native children so that Alaska Native families can be considered for adoption through the Child in Need of Aid proceedings instead of through an entirely different proceeding held in probate court. Families will be able to assert their desire to adopt a child through the Child in Need of Aid proceeding and would be considered for adoption after the permanency goal changes to adoption. These changes would benefit the most vulnerable children by ensuring that adoption proceedings for children in need of aid are conducted in the manner most beneficial to Alaska Native children and their families. This legislation establishes procedural requirements for the department and the courts to ensure that extended family members, other tribal members, or other Indian families are provided the opportunity to be considered as a permanent adoptive placement for a relative child and that their request is preserved on the record throughout the life of the case so that it will not be lost even when workers, attorneys, or judges change over the course of time. This bill would allow for the use of a proxy in lieu of a formal petition to adopt. The proxy could be filed by a child's relative, tribal member, or other Indian family. A tribal member or relative also could make the request to the department by telephone, mail, facsimile, electronic mail, or in person. Last, a proxy for formal petition could be made by the child's tribe or by a tribe in which the child would be eligible for enrollment. This legislation ensures that the placement preferences are accurately applied in adoption proceedings where Alaska Native families seek to adopt. Those placement preferences require that we look at first, a member of the child's extended family, second, with other members of the Indian child's tribe, and third, with other Indian families. Again, to emphasize one of the primary key aspects of this bill, it would bring the adoption proceedings into the Child in Need of Aid proceedings, where all of the decisions regarding out-of-home placement and permanency are made, instead of a separate legal proceeding, which is typically how it has been done previously, where all adoption cases are heard in probate court. This will allow the same judge to see all of the case decision-making and come to those conclusions under one roof. Currently, the judges in the adoption proceedings are not privy to the information in the China proceedings. This bill is important for so many reasons, and I believe it will help ensure Alaska Native children who aren't able to safely return to their parents will have a chance to grow up in the care of their extended family and culture. Thank you for your time, and I'm available for any questions.
Many members have any questions. Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Get ready to start the first meeting. You talked about extended family, and is there a definition of consanguinity? And extended family doesn't necessarily mean a Native person. You could have somebody with a direct line of consanguinity without being an Alaskan Native. What's the governor's position if there's a non-Native uncle, grandparent? And is it or is the best interest only based on tribal or racial?
Extended family has a broad definition. I might ask that our Department of Law representative come help clarify that definition for me if she's able.
We'll have you send out a lifeline.
The lifeline.
And if you could introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, and then help with the question, please.
Sure. My name is Katie Librand. I'm from the department.
Pull the mic forward.
Sounded a little faint.
Yeah.
Is that better? Okay. My name is Katie Librand. I'm from the Department of Law representing OCS and these child protection matters. Through the chair, Representative Stoltz, or Senator Stoltz, excuse me, extended family has a broad definition that includes uncles, brothers, grandparents. It doesn't differentiate based on tribal affiliation.
So, following up, so I understand the legal definition. What's the governor's intent in following this? It seems to have tribal or racial links, and there's just as many wretching stories about children being wretched from a loving environment because of political or cultural, and I probably hear more of those than maybe other colleagues who represent different types of districts, and I'm a kind of reluctant sell on this, with just the basic information I've just heard. OCS is supposed to have the best interest of the child as your first and foremost mission, and now I guess we get a little mix of politics and culture in here, and which is certainly important. Not the politics as much the culture. And does this kind of veer off your track of absolute best interest of the child? And that's the part that causes me a little bit of pause and reflection, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We have any other questions for the administrator? Did you have a question in that?
That was a question. What was the position of the department? And Ms. Lawton, Mr. Chairman, has a lot of experience with that. And the issue of best interest versus the cultural interest.
Could you define that?
Through the chair, Senator Stoltz, I believe the intention of the bill is to see that children are placed with relatives whenever possible, which includes relatives on both sides of the family. I think that this bill is trying to look at the cases that we often most frequently see where children are being adopted with non-related family members. So I think this seeks to shore that up such that that isn't occurring.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And vote. Senator Diesel.
Well, thank you. Ms. Lawton, I know you have extensive experience in OCS, and as I read the bill, I actually had a concern that putting this process into the China process, the child in need of aid, this isn't going to expedite the process of removing the child from their natural parents. Is it? It felt that way reading this. It felt like immediately it was jumping to the conclusion of we need to put this child out for adoption.
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, no, that's absolutely not the intent. This really only comes into play once the goal has been changed to adoption in the case, and that typically is done when we have exhausted all of our efforts towards reunification or we've come up against the federal requirements in that the child has been in foster care too long. So this doesn't expedite it from the beginning, no.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any initial questions on the bill? Okay, with that, thank you. We're going to move now to the public hearing. We'll go to the off-net. I see nobody in the sign-up. Is that correct? And then the LIL list is also empty. Anybody in the room come here today to testify on this bill? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. For another bill sponsor, come back up, please. We have any final questions for the bill sponsor before from the committee members before we set this bill aside for further review?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stoltz.
Thank you. I just haven't, nature of my constituency where I get feedback, I've heard other parts of the story on some of these things, and they're very emotionally involved. I just would have thought if this was a big policy issue, there would have been I don't really see a lot of support document and big policy issue. Maybe between now and then we could have just a little bit more elaboration, because we're talking about changing the structure of one of the most important decisions for the best interest of the child, and it's almost, I understand, I'm not going to call a Supreme Court decision anecdotal, but how you interpret those can become anecdotal and certainly political, and this just has so much reach into things far beyond a quick decision we're going to make here, and I appreciate your deliberative process, how you have more discussion, but I just haven't heard the compelling public policy, and there's a lot of folks that I know that just aren't even aware the bill is in here. They may not be aware of the Supreme Court case, and I know it's only the first hearing of the first bill, but I think there's a lot more out there, that this is one of those we pull that 1,000-foot-long rope, and we're not going to feel all the reverberations and tugs until long after we've left this room and maybe even left this session, Mr. Chairman. So,
any final questions, comments from committee members? Okay, with that, if the bill sponsor then could find the time to maybe meet individually with the committee members, go over their questions and other substantive issues of the bill. As noted, this is the first hearing on this bill, so there are probably more public interest as time goes on and notoriety gets out. It's hard this year, I think, with the fiscal issues in front of us to get a lot of these other issues out. With that, we'll go ahead and set Senate Bill 112 aside for further review. Next up, House Bill 76, Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. Rep. Millett. If you can introduce yourself for the record, who you represent, Tell us what this bill does, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sharice Millett. I'm representative for State House District 25. Also, I would like to note that I do sit on the Governor's Council of Special Education Disabilities, and I'm here in that aspect today, along as being a legislator, as being a council member. Thank you for hearing House Bill 76. House Bill 76, in short, removes the word gifted from the enabling statutes for the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. The Governor's Council, since its creation in 1978, has advocated for housing, employment, independent living, health, transportation, and community inclusion for Alaskans with disabilities. However, with their enabling statutes gifted, students were included among the individuals that the Council should work and support. Since that time, legislation has been passed and an administrative code has been adopted to empower and support gifted students within their individual school districts, none which includes the Council's participation or oversight. Additionally, the Council received no funding or resources to address gifted education. They are strictly federally funded for the purpose of assisting disabled Alaskans. House Bill 76 aims to reconcile the Council enabling statutes with their mission to best reflect the valuable service that we would like the Council to continue to provide and clean up confusing language. This will support not only our current Council, but provide a clear roadmap for future Councils and their membership. The only additional changes to the Alaska statute included in this bill are updates to citations of the U.S. Code to reflect a rewrite law relating to the state councils on developmental disabilities. Mr. Chairman, you have members of your committee that have advocated for members with Alaskans with disabilities, and Senator Ellis and Senator Stoltz have been instrumental in moving a lot of disability legislation forward, and we've made great strides in the disability community for equality within the rights of individuals with disability. This goes into support the Council's mission. So with that, Mr. Chairman, unfortunately, I'm in a ethics committee executive session, so I'm going to leave my staff, Grace Abbott, here. She's extensive knowledge in the Council's, and she also participates as a staff member. So thank you for hearing the bill, and I really appreciate it.
Anything more sharing?
Pardon? Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you for coming and presenting the bill. If you could introduce yourself for the record, please.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Grace Abbott, and I'm staff representative Millett. I'm happy to go through a quick sectional. It's just two sections. And then I think it might be maybe additionally helpful to reference the U.S. code that's been cited here.
That's fine. And then when you're done with that, we'll have initial questions, and then we'll go to the public hearing.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. So the first section of this bill strictly removes the word gifted from the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education's enabling statute. And then the second section echoes that goal, also removes the word gifted in all references to gifted persons, and then updates references to reflect current U.S. code. And those code citations are as follows. The first code citation, 42 U.S. Code 15025, and that refers to state councils on developmental disabilities and designated state agencies. The second, 42 U.S. Code 15024, refers to state plans. The third, 20 U.S. Code 1471 through 1482 refers to national activities to improve education of children with disabilities. And then 42 U.S. Code 15001 through 15083 refers to programs for individuals with developmental disabilities.
Do we have any initial questions for the bill sponsor? This is the first hearing. Senator Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Governor's Council group, they have a lot of credibility with me, and they certainly range in from some of my most liberal friends to my most stridently conservative friends. They have one passion, and that's the serving the beneficiaries. What was the process that I recommended the board? Did the council take a vote, or how, and just to help us out, that lays a greater level of confidence knowing just the process and what a priority it is for the council.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, Senator Stoltz, the process that led us to this place was that the legislative committee, which is a subsect of the governor's council, realized that this was an important priority of theirs to clean up their mission statement, basically, and really to provide that guidance for future councils so that confusing references to different populations weren't left in their enabling statutes. And then the council did vote to maintain this as a priority for the previous legislative session and now this one. And they continue to support it today.
Thank you. Any other initial questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, thank you. We're going out of the public hearing. There's no one that has signed up in the off-net, and no one that signed up in the LIO. Is that correct? So, come into the room. We're not doing very good today. Anybody in the room want to speak to any issue dealing with this bill? We're not that scary of a committee. Seeing none. We'll come back, I guess, for any other final questions for the bill sponsor before we set this bill aside for further review. Seeing none. We'll go ahead and set this bill aside for further review. With that, that concludes the agenda items today. The next meeting will be Wednesday, January 27th at 1:30. We are working on a couple of CSs, and the bills will come up under bills previously heard. So those around the state that are following the committee, they want to, I'd encourage you to continue to put your 2 cents in with your elected officials as we work through these bills, including the two new ones today. And we'll try to move things along in the committee early this year, earlier than normal, due to the anticipated heavy fiscal issue load that we're going to have at the end of the session. With that, thanks to everybody for coming. Thanks for the committee for coming back in the entirety, and we are adjourned.